Hey, everybody. This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Baseball 21 and Franchise Hockey Manager 6, the two sports strategy games available from Out of the Park Developments. Out of the Park Baseball 21 is the world's best baseball strategy game. It is incredibly well reviewed on Steam, and it is the kind of game that has just, it's been an amazing year. In a time without baseball and a time of a pandemic, we have been able to really just have a wonderful time with our community. With our common love for baseball, with Out of the Park Baseball 21. If you haven't ever checked it out, you can get it on Steam or you can get it directly from us at OOTP Developments. It's for PC and Mac. It has the entire history of baseball, every single season, every single player, every single team, major leagues, minor leagues. It is the most complete possible baseball strategy game you could ever find. You can do your own custom leagues. You can do online leagues. We have an online perfect team mode where you can pick your own baseball packs and rip cards and put a team together there. It's got incredibly extensive abilities to do all sorts of cool quick starts with all sorts of real teams from the past and the present. It's an amazing game, and I'm just proud to be a part of the company that brings it to you, Out of the Park Baseball 21. And, of course, Franchise Hockey Manager 6, the only NHL licensed game on PC. And we are releasing an update real soon with the whole new tournament and the return to play. It's going to be unbelievable. Both of these games are supported regularly by patches and updates. And so, you know, we release the game and then we support them for the whole year after they come out. So that's the story. Please check out the Park Baseball 21 and Franchise Hockey Manager 6. This is the Press Row Podcast. Enjoy the show. Everybody, what's happening? Welcome back to the Press Row Podcast. I am so happy that you're here. I am so happy to be here. And I'm also so happy that my friend Brian Wiedei, a.k.a. Pasta Padre, is here. Brian, how are you?
Doing pretty well. We're back together, Rich, and we got some interesting developments here to go over in this episode. And it's kind of fun to have that bit of excitement back. We've had, well, we had the release of Super Mega Baseball 3, which was, it's an excellent, excellent game. But there's... Yes. When you get into talking about things like the next generation of consoles and stuff, it kind of takes things to a whole new level that we haven't had, obviously, in what, 6 years, six or 7 years.
Yeah, not only have we not had it, but also all of the uncertainty around all of the things, which, yep. You know, really, and when we talk about all, I stress the word all, right? What we don't know what's going to happen with major sports for the next 12 to 18 months. Mm-mm. Heck, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 weeks.
No.
Between the NBA and the NHL and the NFL and Major League Baseball and Major League Soccer and European Soccer and, you know, all of those things, just the real sports, right? Some things are back in a big way. Some things are back in a little way. Some things are trying to come back. Like, nobody really knows what's going to happen there. And then, of course, you've got all of the folks that are making the games and making the machines and designing mm-hmm. everything, all of them working from home, which for a lot of jobs is perfectly fine. And for a lot of jobs, you can't. And so much uncertainty everywhere. And yet, it looks like, Brian, it looks like Sony and Microsoft are going to go ahead and release these consoles sometime this fall, the new consoles, and it looks like EA Sports is going to put a couple of games on those new consoles. Yeah. That's pretty much what it looks like, but there's a lot of vagueness and uncertainty around a whole lot of stuff going on.
That's the plan. Certainly they're planning best-case scenarios, right, that they're going to be able to deliver on time, the situation out in the outside world is going to allow for it to happen at the rate, certainly as far as like manufacturing goes and shipping goes and as far as internal development of the games and the hardware, it's they're still really, I mean, this provides some clarity. We have some clarity, but there's no definitive. There's no way to feel assured that everything is going to happen the way it's being sketched out right now. Release dates and everything along those lines are still you know, I look at things like, here's the release date for Madden, here's the release date for FIFA. And, you know, the consoles don't have their release dates yet, but they're certainly expected by November or late November. And I'm not setting my expectations to get everything on those days. And hopefully it turns out to be the case, but you're right. There's no certainty about anything right now. And certainly consumer products, and you talk about the sports leagues coming back, but consumer products and even things like the entertainment industry and movies and things of that nature are still working things out. And we'll see, we'll just have to see how things progress here, or regress, as might be the case.
And I have to believe there's no way that the entire situation forcing so many of us to alter so much of our lives has not impacted significantly the development of the big EA sports games, especially the next generation ones too.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way that it doesn't. Now, does it impact it in a small way and all of the main schedules remain, generally speaking, in place, or does it impact it in a major way to where there's no way they could do certain things, right? We don't know that, but I just have to imagine that is going to has already had a significant impact. I would bet, Brian, and we're going to talk about the details of this, right? You know, this is all based upon watching EA play. I would bet that if the pandemic had not happened, that there would be a lot more next generation sports stuff shown right now than they did, simply because they would have probably had a lot, made more progress and been more confident in dates and times and things like that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if you go back and look historically, these companies don't want to overshadow their upcoming products with the ones that are beyond them. So EA and 2K and the like, they still want to sell Madden and NBA 2K and FIFA and NHL on the current gen consoles.
Sure, the install base is much bigger.
Yes, absolutely. So that's going to be their initial focus, and they're going to kind of tease what's to come at the same time, without trying to overshadow it. Now, the big difference we have right now is that this console generation transition is not what the previous ones were. It's not, you're not going to be getting a brand new built from the ground up Madden, right? You're going to be getting the PS4 version of Madden essentially enhanced on the PS5.
Which, by the way, if you look at the calendar, makes complete sense, because the games aren't going to come out until October or November.
Yeah.
And which is going to be, if the calendar holds, right? If the schedule holds, halfway, if not two-thirds of the way through the season. So that's really, frankly, what it should be. There's no great reason to invest so much in something that will have half of the shelf life of the same, you know, of the games that will come out for the next 5 to 6 seasons. It almost makes more sense to really...
It makes sense.
To put everything into next year's versions of FIFA and Madden,
right?
You know, as the true next generation debuts.
Well, in the past, I think what you would have looked at was those games kind of to be a showcase, right? And you had that with the Fight Nights of the world, and you've had that with, at least as far as marketing goes, with NBA and with Madden and with FIFA. As far as you want to showcase the games, you want to help sell the consoles, or at least certainly Microsoft and Sony and in some cases Nintendo want to use them for that purpose. And then you want to build from there. So you want to grab the early adapters on those consoles too, and then you want to build that base up. It's going to take years, obviously, to get to where the current generation is as far as an install base, and maybe it never even reaches that. We don't know, but... you want to get off on the right foot. And this is definitely the better way to do it if you're doing that. Now, in the past, again, we go back to the past, and it was trying to be flashy, trying to show off the technical jumps and getting ahead of themselves and promising things that they couldn't deliver on. This year, you know, it's funny, I posted the first screenshots from the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5 Madden, and the replies are dominated by people saying, I'm not falling for this again, which I understand where they're coming from, but there's nothing in these screenshots. There's nothing in that trailer that EA showed us that makes me think that it's not what we're going to get. This isn't the Madden 06 trailer, CGI trailer that came out and tried to fool everyone. And then EA doubled down on by saying, no, the game actually looks even better than that. This is not that situation. This is
There's
Madden 21.
There's probably not one person left from that EA.
No, or they may have been promoted, Rich. You know, we're failing up these days. It's within the realm of possibility that this is how Madden looks, because it really doesn't look that much different from what we have. If you look in the screenshots, you look in the trailers, you're going to see stuff like the crowds looking better and having more definition. And if you zoom in on these 4K images, it looks insane. But you're not playing like that anyway. So whatever, we'll see.
I play in an online league. I played like 4 days ago, the last game of the regular season. I went 8-8. Madden looks great right now. I played it on my Xbox One X. It looks great right now. And yeah, granted, again, if you can find flaws in everything. You can find flaws on the sideline, like you've always been able to find flaws on the sideline and things like that. But when you're just playing, generally speaking, the game looks fantastic, right? The players look realistic. They move realistically, generally speaking, right? The ball behaves realistically. It's a really good-looking game. I have no concerns whatsoever that the next version of Madden is going to look great. And if it is just a, you know, and I put the air quotes in just, right? If it is just, because to just do it is a lot of work, a remaster of, you know, Madden 21 on the PS4 for the PS5 for the 2020/2021 season, I'm cool with that, right? It seems like that's what they're going for, right? Seeing a lot of breathless, revolutionary, this is the future, like, which everybody says all of the time at every one of these things. They're not saying that. They're just like, hey, yep, Madden 25 is coming. Or not Madden 25. Madden 21 is coming. And FIFA 21 is coming. And it's going to be good. And we'll have more to show you when it's close. And I'm cool with that.
It would be foolish to go about this differently, because is anyone upset with Madden because of the visuals? I mean, maybe they can be better. Sure, of course, everything can be better. That's not what people are frustrated about with Madden in recent years or in the last decade or plus. It's not the visuals. Now, the visuals look great as far for marketing. You know, they want those visuals to attract people, but that's not going to sell the game. So I think they realize that as far as visuals go, although, you know, I was a little, I don't know, disturbed or disappointed is not the right word. But the first information that came out on Madden for the current gen systems earlier this week was not really what I was looking for. And I don't think it was what a lot of people were looking for. Now, when we go to the next gen stuff, those gripes are still there, you know, franchise. They're not going to give us a brand new franchise mode in the next gen game. But things like, so I'll go down the list here of some of the things they mentioned that the systems are going to be able to do for Madden, which includes I'm just going to quote here. These are not my adjectives. Blazing fast load times. We've talked about many, many situations or many instances here, Rich, where we've talked about, that's a big thing with load times as far as enjoyment of a game, especially in their particular modes where you're going in and out of games, you're going in and out of screens, and that time adds up. And when we went from the regular Xbox One to like the Xbox One X, that was probably my favorite thing about it. Not even the 4K. It was that, you know, going into a game cut the loading time from a minute 30 to like 40 seconds or something. Now we're going to be now to almost instantly loading. That's awesome. Spatialized audio, immersive controller haptics, contextual player bench and fan reactions, reimagined player bodies, exquisite weather detail, and stats-driven player movement. So it's technical stuff. That in theory will make the game better, will make the game more immersive, but it's not going to change the game necessarily. at least off the bat. Maybe that there's stuff they're going to be able to take more advantage of in the years ahead. They almost definitely will. But I just found it interesting that it's going to be, you know, how you market it beyond the visuals when it's stuff like that. That isn't really back of the box stuff, you know.
You know, it's you find yourself repeating yourself, and it comes down to, you know, how do you best communicate what you're really doing to people in a way that makes the most sense? And, you know, trust me, as somebody who does this all the time, right? Like when I'm working with the team to understand what are the improvements, what are the things that we're doing, what's the focus, right? Like it's very much comes from the internal teams. And, you know, when you get into the products that are 20 and 30 and 40 years, you know, not 40, but, you know, certainly 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 year franchises, you know, it becomes really difficult to even express what you've done without sounding like, well, this is the same thing that he said the last few years. Like, well, yeah, we did do this thing two or three years ago, but we made it even better this time.
Well, yeah,
and things like that. And that's really hard, really, really difficult. Again, this is not the second year of the game or the first year of the game or the fourth year of the game, right? There's not a 40 list backlog of just basic features and functions that don't exist like you see with much younger games. And I'm not picking on anybody here, but, you know, you look at Super Mega Baseball when we had them on the last show, right? Mm-hmm. They've got a very clear roadmap of things that they want to do that they consider basically more or less basic features of the game. You know, things that they just want to be part of the standard game that aren't there yet that they're adding over the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months. With Madden, FIFA, you know, there's not a whole lot of room for that kind of stuff. And even with NBA 2K, right? Like, although, you know, NBA 2K continues to be better at it than anybody else, you know, doing it every year. So, you know, it's a tough spot. And again, I have a strong feeling that the guys were really significantly impacted by not being able to go in the office for 2 or 3 months. I got to believe that it had a significant impact on what this game is going to be when it comes out.
Well, when I saw the first trailer, not the next gen trailer, but the current gen trailer for Madden, it goes through a handful of kind of the bullet points of what makes up this year's game, what would make you want to buy this year's game. And when I saw one of those things was user-controlled celebrations, that what you just said there, Rich, kind of instantly came to my mind, where not only that specifically, but I was hard-pressed looking through the details to find anything that wasn't touted as a feature or an improvement in a previous Madden. It looks recycled. Doesn't mean it's going to play recycled. These things very well may really make the game a lot better. But I couldn't help but feel like something was missing, or it's either that or EA really didn't learn anything from what happened with Madden last year. And that scares me even more. But we'll have to see if they're holding anything. I don't think they're probably holding anything big back, but we'll have to see. We're just going to have to wait and see if the game actually produces more, at least it's not being oversold, the improvements. I think it would be hard to oversell some of these things. Maybe expectations will be lowered. Maybe they'll exceed them for that reason. But it was not what I expected out of, like, the first reveal. The next-gen stuff, a little more interesting because we're talking about technical details and how it's going to tie into that we didn't really have knowledge of before, other than things like loading times. But it's a long ways to go. Long ways to go still. A couple months and then years again. 6 more years of Madden exclusive license.
Which, again, to me, right? Like it's that is interesting, right? So, you know, you've got Take-Two on one side, which has announced that they're back partnering with the NFL, not for the simulation games, but for, you know, new different experiences. And now you've got EA, who's like, yep, we're back for 6 more years of the simulation. And that's, you know, that kind of that kind of locked in relationship gives you some interesting freedoms, right? So that, you know,
with the NFL though, I don't know. You know, it gives you well, if your contract is rock solid, I guess it gives you the opportunity or the opportunity to take a risk, but I don't know if the NFL allows it. They're very restrictive.
No, I don't mean take a risk. I mean it allows you to say, okay, you know what? And I'm not saying this is what's happening. I'm just, you know, literally thinking out loud here, but that allows EA to potentially say, okay, we don't have to release with launch a massive blockbuster quadruple A version of Madden and FIFA that, you know, revolutionized the sports video game world, right? Because they've got a 6-year roadmap, which is about the general length of time you would expect the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X to be the vital consoles, right? So they've got that 6 years, so it allows them to sort of say, you know, and I'm sure they would work with the NFL on this, like, look, here's our 5-year, 6-year roadmap, and this is what we're doing, and this is how we're transforming, you know, this is how we're matching, like, sort of the experiences that people want today, which are different than they were 5 years ago and different than they were 10 years ago, right? So, and again, I'm not saying that's what's happening, but it's certainly, when you have that kind of a committed long-term contractual relationship, mm-hmm. you know, the parties understand what that means, I think, to some degree, as opposed to if they were on like the last year of a 2-year deal, maybe they would have to approach this year's Madden and this year's FIFA differently. I don't know. Again, I'm just thinking out loud, but it's different than if the deal were expiring this year, for example.
Well, let's examine this, because when the press release came out about the license extension, EA kind of referred to, or not EA, the NFL kind of referred to like this innovative plan for Madden that they were impressed by, right? Which made them decide to continue on with EA. If that's true, we're not seeing it this year.
I don't know if we would have or not, but I think the right. pandemic eliminated any chance of that really truly kicking off this year, which again, I think is okay, right? A lot of this new generation this fall, Brian, is going to be remasters and backwards compatibility mm-hmm. because I don't know how much you've been paying attention. I don't pay super close attention, but I mean, I've watched some of the big presentations, right? I watched the big Sony presentation. I watched, you know, parts of different Microsoft things. There's very little that's being said. This is brand new and it's coming out at launch. Very little. In fact, with Madden, yeah. for example, if you buy the PS4 version, you're going to get the PS5 version too. Like right. that screams, this is not a true,
it's not a different game
thing, right? This right. is the same game with a potential sort of new shine and upgrade. And again, I think that's all okay, especially if it's communicated as such, right?
Right.
If it's communicated, this is the greatest thing of all time, and it's, you know, 100 billion times faster and better, and it's not, well, you know, that's, but it doesn't feel, as we said, like that's what they're going for here. And again, I'm repeating myself, but the pandemic, I'm sure, had something to do with it. Whether this was the plan all along, we don't know. But I think that it truly is the right thing. And again, I think that long-term contract gives them more leeway than if they didn't have that.
Well, and certainly they have the history now. If you're talking about exclusivity, we're going back 15 years of them working together with the NFL. So it is interesting, though, that the NFL seem to have at least recognized that they should be getting more out of the deal, or that Madden should be beyond where it's at now, and that over the years they've missed out. I mean, it's easy to look at revenues, and Madden is certainly generating those revenues to be successful and to please the NFL as their partner. But when we go back and we talk about how games have been cited as helping to grow the sport in the past and helping to cultivate new fans, younger fans, and helping to teach even older fans more about the sport and appreciate different things about it, when Madden is generating those digital revenues and everything, but its sales are significantly lower than they were at their peak. And it does not have the cultural relevance that it used to have. And you can even look at a game like NBA 2K, and you can see how that just blows it out of the water in that area. So the NFL has probably recognized that, and we'll have to see if EA can produce what they're looking for now, which when you bring in 2K to do things like a possible arcade style game or whatever, then it's not direct competition, but it does kind of spark something there that they're looking for more out of what their brand can be in the gaming space.
I'm sure if I'm the NFL, I look at 2K's NBA 2K success and say, I want that.
Oh, I wish that was ours. Yeah.
I want that, right? I mean, that only makes sense because NBA 2K, it doesn't matter what angle you're looking at, right? If you look from the sales perspective, every single year NBA announces that they've made the most sales ever, right? And it's the best ever, best in terms of unit sales, best in terms of revenue generated. Take two, their most recent event where their CEO spoke, again, just talked about the tremendous success of the game. So of course you want that. Everybody would want that, which I'm sure is why the NFL is back in business with Take-Two. And from a consumer's perspective, even if it's not a direct competition, like you said, it's good, right? It's good for the consumers to know that you got a couple different, companies that are vying for potentially competitive dollars. It's all very good. Mm-hmm. We don't know the true nature of the revenue impact of Madden on EA. We know it's significant. We're sure that they would like it to be larger. We don't know truly how much bigger or smaller it is. But what I don't know, I can't tell. There's so much, in the very few now circles where there are discussions about Madden, they're all the same. And what I just can't tell is the cynical, unhappy attitude that I see in the rare times that I even do see conversations about Madden representative mm-hmm. of the much larger community, or is it representative of the very small section? And Madden still has millions and millions of fans who, generally speaking, like the game
well,
and buy it every year. I don't know that. I don't know.
Well, yes. So that is absolutely true. There are a lot of people who do like Madden, and I'm adamant that Madden has rarely been anything less than a good game, right? It's been good. It's been adequate. It has only on a few occasions been great. So what really, I think, damaged EA recently was the Madden Bowl, because not only it was kind of like a lot of people know of Madden's flaws, and a lot of people have their own personal gripes with the series. But that became on a national scale an embarrassment for EA, where national publications, the likes of ESPN.
I would not have known that, though. And again, I'm not, I never, when I say I, I'm not saying that I'm representative of anybody, but it's a big deal. Sports video games are a big deal in my life, and I was barely aware of that. I bet you most people who are Madden players had absolutely A, no idea the Madden Bowl was happening, and B, that the guy who was winning it was just running the ball up the middle. And I don't mean either of those things in a cynical way. It's just, as we talked about on the show before, there does not yet appear to be a mass audience for most of the quote-unquote esports of the console games right now. There's an audience, mass audience.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Exactly.
It is because if there was a time where this could have become successful, it was when there were no sports happening, and it didn't. And it just really kind of cements where that's at. But yeah, that's a whole different conversation for us someday.
But that's not going anywhere. I mean, these esports competitions are going to continue to be a big pillar of all of these games, the FIFA stuff, the Madden stuff, the NBA 2K E-League was on ESPN today.
Yeah, and it's,
I have no idea what it is.
Nobody's watching it. It's a problem.
I don't know. And look, I'm not the kind of guy who watches NBA 2K League stuff anyway, right? I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just that's not my thing, right? But I'm not the target market. I'm an old man. They don't care about me. They want my kid, right? That's who they want watching those things.
That's So, I mean, that's an exposure thing trying to, generate a new interest. But it is, as far as like the perception goes, it has been bad within a group of hardcore gamers for a long time. And you've seen the sales shed people basically every year, but they're making up.
Say that
for,
like it's a fact. Do we know that?
It is. Yeah. I mean, Madden sells 5 to 6 million copies right now, and at its peaks in 05, it was selling 12 or so. It's just,
that's a long time ago.
Yes,
and the
absolutely.
Video
and no, I'm not saying it dropped 7 million
different.
Whatever in a year. It didn't. It's just been gradual, but. But that's because EA has decided, and many other games have decided, that they will prioritize, you know, the money they make from people over the number of people playing their games. Whether that's going to be able to hold up over time, I don't know. But that's just kind of the direction it's gone. And as things have contracted and within the sales and within the genre as a whole. But it's just Madden, again, we're very insulated as far as social media is going to be very negative. So we're going to see all that negativity. Forums are going to be generally negative.
I'm not even on social media anymore.
Yeah. So. Well, if you click on any tweet from like the Madden account, you'll see it. I mean,
that's one of the reasons I'm not on social media is for that reason. I'm like, I don't need to just be constantly bombarding myself with negative.
But it's also everything. I mean, you can click on an NBA 2K tweet.
That's why I don't do it. Exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, for your mental health, it's probably a positive thing. Unfortunately, I read everything for some godforsaken reason, Rich. I can't help myself. I have to see what people are saying.
Not me.
Some other things I wanted to hit on, Rich, before we get out of here, observation. So EA Play only showed off that one next-gen trailer. It wasn't anything more. I listed out some of the things we learned after, though. Your thoughts on so there's two other EA Sports games coming out this year. We know NHL 21. We know EA Sports UFC 4, which hasn't officially been announced still, but it's official considering they've already put out a call to people to sign up for a closed beta. So we know those two games are coming later this year. They didn't show anything from them, didn't mention them at all. So I wonder, that's not unusual. NHL sometimes gets pushed back to its first showing. But I wonder if that means NHL is not going to get a next-gen game this year, Rich. Remember, it didn't get a next-gen last time either.
Yeah, I don't see any problem with that. Again, you know, it's kind of – although, you know, what's interesting, right, and again, this can't be planned for – if the schedule holds, both the NBA and the NHL are going to start their new seasons at some point around Christmas time, which would be after the launch of these consoles, which would theoretically, you could have a big, you know, shiny new NHL game with the new, you know, season and have it come out, you know, when the new consoles launch, you know, in time for the whole thing. But there was no way to plan for that, right? To plan for, you know, to do something related to that, you would have to be building this thing for 2 or 3 or 4 years. So, again, I just think it comes down to they understand the internal metrics. They understand what it takes to make, you know, a significant upgrade. And it sounds like they're just like, you know, we're going to hold the cards on the next-gen NHL until next fall. And, you know, between the number of people who are going to buy it and the number of people who would potentially buy NHL on the next-gen consoles, when, by the way, Brian, these next-gen consoles on day one, you're going to be able to, with the push of one or two buttons, be able to play dozens, if not hundreds of games, right? Thanks to all the services that are going to be there, right? So, more competition to get someone to pay $50 or $60 for a game. I think they're just looking at it like, look, we're going to lead with our Madden and our FIFA. and we're going to hold everything else back sports-wise until, you know, when they would normally come out for the next one. And I think it probably makes the most sense.
I'd be surprised, though, if they chose against doing UFC. Not because it would necessarily be a huge seller. UFC has not been. But the way Fight Night has been used to showcase the new consoles, to showcase technology in the past, UFC could have been that too. UFC may have reached a different type of audience if it was a launch game. Because like you said, there's not going to be a ton of unique launch games.
It doesn't look like it. No, it'll be a lot of, you know, upgrades, a lot of, you know, backwards compatibility, and a few new things, and probably most of the new things in the Microsoft world will be part of whatever their Game Pass is at launch.
Yep,
Sony
yep.
might be the only ones that have, like, okay, here's a, you know, like with Ratchet and Clank, assuming that that is a launch day game, like there only might be 3 to 6 remotely brand new games, you know, when these consoles first come out.
Yeah. So that kind of would surprise me, but again, like you said, they probably are just prioritizing the flagships.
And UFC is different than Fight Night. You know, UFC is really gross. It's just disgusting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it is.
I don't like it. And again, and I'm not saying because I don't like it, no one else does. It's usually popular. I get
it's more,
that, but it's not the same appeal, right? You know, you're not going to have, you know, a lot of dads aren't going to feel good about, you know, a UFC.
That's true.
A UFC game versus, you know, a boxing game or a football game or a basketball game.
That's fair. That's fair. Other things, Rich, FIFA also listed on Steam, joining Madden on Steam. I think every EA game on PC is moving to Steam now, including EA Access at some point later this year.
Yeah, very interesting.
I mentioned the free upgrades. That applies to FIFA and Madden.
Which, again, if you're talking about a massive investment of hundreds of million dollars in a game, they're not going to give you a free upgrade.
Right. But they want people to spend more money within the games, of course, which they can do because they're, like I mentioned earlier, you'll be able to carry over your progress from Ultimate Team, but other modes, including franchise and career modes, will have to be started from scratch. I thought, you know, I don't know why that is. I don't know if there's some limitation that makes that true, because you can carry over any type of save, I would think. I mean, MLB The Show has been allowing you to carry over saves for 5+ years. So obviously the conspiracy theories on Twitter when I put out that information, well, not even a conspiracy theory. Everybody just jumping to the conclusion that it's because it's the moneymaker. So that's a weird one. That's strange to me.
Strange, and I'm sure there's good reason for it. And I'm sure that reason comes down to a significant amount of time that it would take to do something that probably they feel a relatively small number of people would take advantage of. And again, total hypothesis.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention, the whole bunch of games were announced to have crossplay, which is when we had our podcast talking about answered the question on a podcast, what we're most looking forward to out of next gen. Crossplay was it for me when it comes to sports games. That's not even necessarily had to be about next gen, but it was where I thought things would go and what I thought they could expand into was crossplay. Bunch of games announced it. Not mentioned for any of the sports games, though, so that's a little bit of a disappointment. I don't know if you feel similarly.
Yeah, I mean, again, it would be nice. I'm not going to pretend to be angry about something I'm not angry about, but I do know, you know, friends of mine, to crossplay is a big deal. So I get that personally, not impacted by it, but I can certainly understand disappointment in that and lack of that.
Anything else, Rich, or else, you know, we can do another podcast coming up where once we've digested some information and had this information and had more come out about it, I'm sure we'll be able to speak more on them and where we think these games are going. This is really just the start, just the introduction to them. So I think there's still a lot to learn and a lot to understand about what it all means.
So, yeah, Brian, there's a lot to think about, a lot that we know and a lot more that we don't know, right? We don't know when these things are coming out. We don't know how much they're going to cost. We don't know, you know, even within how many versions there's going to be of them. You know, we know that there's at least two, it looks like, from each. I mean, so much still to find out, Brian. It's going to be a very interesting summer and fall and beyond as we as we watch whatever's going to happen, happen. I mean,
interesting in more ways than one, I would say.
Many more ways. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Brian, it was great to talk. What do you say we get back together real soon and get caught up on the next few things that are happening? Because we know information is going to be coming a lot more regularly now.
Yeah, we will do that, Rich. I'm looking forward to it.
Fantastic. Thank you, Brian, as always. You're the man. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We, as always, we appreciate it very much. And we'll talk to you again real soon.